We're Talking Gardening with Darren DeMello and Sue McDougall on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
And we're into it, 922-11-882, if you want to join in. That is the standard talkback number that is operating at the moment. You can text as well, 19999-677, or you can get to us via, now this is especially important if you want us to see something.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Email, and that's weekendwakeup@6pr.com.au. Let's talk to Ellie in Redcliffe.
Hi, Ellie.
To get us underway. Morning.
Hi, I'm just ringing. I've got a front verge. I just want some ideas for a plant. It's like, it's got to be have road base, but it's going to have post holes in about as big as a copper log to put plants in there. I just want something hardy, and this, we water it till it's established, but sometimes people park there. Something doesn't need much care. Is it prostrate rosemary?
Oh, there's prostrate rosemary. It needs to be sort of high enough so people realise that they can't park there. Is that what you want to do?
People still
do
probably
anyway.
Park there.
So okay.
Something
so,
hardy.
Prostrate rosemary is one that you could look at, definitely. That's a gorgeous plant. Grevillea gingin gem is another fantastic one. So that's obtusifolia gingin gem. Check out Myoporum parvifolium, the broadleaf leaf form. That's absolutely stunning. That's a really good lawn substitute as well.
Yeah.
Grevillea crithmifolia is another one that's used for, when you say hardy, these are the plants that are used for road veg planting, you know, winter planting on the side of road veggies, and they'll still grow. So yes, they'll get some water when they're established, but then they'll be dry area planted after that.
All right. And so, prostrate rosemary be good?
Yeah, prostrate rosemary you could put in, no problem at all.
Oh, thank you so much.
Enjoy. Well done. And hopefully nobody plants their car on there.
Well, it could be one of those unavoidable situations sometimes, but if you've got a question like that, 922-11-882, if you want to join in. Now, we're talking soil prep, which is one of your favourite subjects, Sue.
Yeah, certainly is. The most important part of gardening, that's for sure.
It is. Alan in Munster, morning to you.
Good morning. How are you? I'm totally depressed this morning. I went through and checked all my soils yesterday, and the pH is 8 on right around the garden. What can I do?
Now, did you ring me yesterday? Someone else did.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah, you rang me, and I said, go and get a pH testing kit.
I thought I'd do that. Yeah, go.
Yeah, and that's a good read. It shows you, doesn't it? You know, you look at it and go, well, it should be doing okay, and that's what happens.
I never thought anything about it because I went and bought all this expensive soil, and I thought, oh, this is going to be great.
You know what highlighted me to the fact that it might be alkaline? It's when you said veggie mix as well. Sometimes the bases that they use from that, sometimes mushroom compost is the same as alkaline. It's one of those things that we can get, when I say totally focused on soil pH and be a problem, and often if we know it a bit earlier, we can counteract the effect of it. And it takes a long time for the soil to come back. So what we need to do is a two-pronged attack. Alan, what you need to have dusting sulfur as your friend. So flowers of sulfur, it's called, or dusting sulfur, and you sprinkle that around and water that in really well. It takes a lot to bring the soil pH back. Microbes in the soil, worm castings, adding those to the soil, so the concentrated organic matter. Steer clear of anything that's got a chook manure controlled base, so any dynamic lifter or any of those products, palletized products that have got a chook manure as a base. You'll find also when the soil is very alkaline, what we find is that the iron is locked away. And when iron is locked away, iron is a nutrient, the trace element that's needed for growth, for plants to grow. So when iron's locked away, plants can't produce chlorophyll, so they can't grow. So chelated iron as a foliar spray is going to be something that you'll need to do as well. And chelated iron is the iron's been changed to a form that a plant can take up really quickly. So we need to put iron on the foliage, and we can also use iron around the root system. So you need to use sulfur around the root system. You need to use some iron around the root system and water it in. Worm castings, blood and bone, to get the microbes working in the soil, because when there's lots of microbes in the soil, the effects of extreme or high pH are less pronounced on the plants. And then the other thing is a liquid fertilizer over the foliage as well. Now, the reason I say that is at the moment, if you just... Are you hooked to the internet, Alan? Are you got access to the internet?
The house is, but I'm not.
Okay, so if the house is and you can find someone, if you just do a search, pH nutrient availability chart, that will bring up a chart that you will see soil pHs along the top axis. And then down the side axis on the vertical axis is the nutrients. And what we'll show you is what nutrients are available when the soil is alkaline and when the soil is acidic. That is such a visual thing to go, oh, that's exactly what's happening. Because when the soil pH is high, many of those nutrients that plants need aren't available. They're there, but they're locked away in the soil. So by putting it over the foliage as a foliar spray to start with, plants can take it up quite quickly. And so you start to get growth, you start to get soil working and moving and really healthy soil, and then we get a whole cycle of things happening. So that will give you an... It was camellias you rang up about yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. The whole... You know, the roses grow beautifully, but the pH is... just over 8.
That's okay. A little bit of dusting sulfur, so that's okay. Yeah. That's look. At least you know now. See, you're one step ahead of yesterday.
Great.
You are. No, you are. It's true. At least you know. And once you know, you can then start to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll go out and spend all this money today because I don't think I'm going to have it in 12 months. I think they'll take it away from me.
Yeah, well, you're helping the economy anyway, there, Alan. So, yeah, exactly. Good on you. Don't use a self-service checkout, okay?
Thank you.
Good luck, Alan.
See you, Alan.
Got a text on 999-677. Audrey says, "Hi there. I have a frangipani planted in front of my house. It's about a metre high. It has direct sunlight, been well watered, been in the ground for about 2 years. The problem with it is the leaves are like lime yellow, and parts of the leaf are turning brown. Hasn't flowered at all.
That's not good.
It gets fertilizer and rooster booster monthly. Any suggestions on how to improve the plant condition?"
Wonder where it is. Sometimes rooster booster is a chook manure based fertilizer. So chook based, but chook manure based fertilizer. And sometimes that's got fortified with iron. And sometimes same thing. We end up with alkaline soil, yellow leaves, tie up of iron deficiency. Maybe. The other thing that can happen is the frangipani rust, the susceptible to a rust, and that can cause the leaves to go yellow and die back. So check the underneath the leaf. If they do have rust, dusting sulfur will control that, or you need fungus fighter on that.
Will you see it
on the underside of the leaves, but you don't see it on the top of the leaf, because all you see is this yellow blotching on the top of the leaf and sometimes die back.
Okay. All right, so there you go. Some work for you, Audrey, to work out what's going on there. Staying in the leaf department, Rod and Carlisle, hello.
G'day, Darren and Sue. You know, I like that last comment. You know, you'll learn everything every day.
You do.
Yeah.
That's right.
That is so true.
You've got to look for the positive.
Just a quick one, Sue. You know, with the dead leaves that go all around the place and that, I use my vacuum thing to suck them all up.
Yep.
Which turns it virtually into a mulch.
Yes.
Is it best to dig it into the garden area, or can I just spread it around on top around the plants and that?
Yeah, just spread it around the top, no problem at all. Depending on the leaves, some take a bit longer to break down than others, Rod. So sometimes you can put a little bit of blood and bone around at the same time you put the leaves around, and that speeds up the composting process, particularly if there's a bit of rain around as well. So the moisture, the nitrogen from the blood and bone, as well as the feeding the soil, helps the nutrients. So it helps the breakdown process of your compost as well. So digging it in, you don't have to. It just saves your job. Put it on the ground. It works as a mulch, and it feeds the soil at the same time as it composts down. It's easiest way to go. If it's gum leaves, it takes a bit longer to break down. Sometimes they need to be mulched around to give them some weight so that they don't blow everywhere again.
Yeah, well, I might have to get the vacuum out today because we're supposed to be getting some rain this afternoon.
Oh, I know. Vacuum the leaves up, mulch them up, put them back on the lawn, sorry, on the garden beds, and then the rain will just start the process, particularly thunderstorm rain, of course, because there's so much soluble nitrogen in thunderstorm rain that it breaks everything down so quickly that you don't have to feed the lawn. Think of the money you've saved. You don't have to feed your lawn. I bet it's starting to come look good at the moment.
It has done.
There you go.
Yep. Oh, the nitrogen that they've got into the lawns there, oh, nice and green now.
I bet your lawn is. Your road verge lawn will be the best in the street, I think, now.
I think so.
Thanks, Rod.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sue and Darren.
Good on you. Thanks for your call. 8:15 now, 9221 882 if you want to talk gardening with us today. Bobby and Maureen will come back and sort your queries out shortly.
You're listening to The Weekend Wake-Up for KingCare, specialists delivering in-home care for WA's elderly and people with disability.
I'm Gareth Parker from The Morning Program, and tomorrow we'll dissect the state election from every angle, telling you where the contest was won and lost, bringing you all the latest news on the fallout, and discussing what it means for the future of WA. That's The Morning Program, the home of Perth's best news, interviews and talk.
Mornings with Gareth Parker, tomorrow from 8:30 on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
When it heats up the Savo and you're trying to relax at home in the heat, call Weather Wizard and Dakin. They'll keep you cool and comfortable. Phone 9303 4000.
Don't miss the special election edition of the Sunday Times. It's your complete one-stop shop to everything that's important for you to know. Where the battles were won and lost. Expert analysis. What happens now? Plus the voting numbers from every seat in Western Australia. For all this and more, grab your copy of the Sunday Times today.
Looking after the garden can be challenging, especially as we get a little older. A helping hand goes a long way, and the ladies at Weeding Women are here to help prune your rose bushes and get those winter weeds back under control. The ladies at Weeding Women will take care of your garden like it's their own, and they offer handsome discounts for pensioners. So if you need a little help in the garden this winter, call the team at Weeding Women on 1800 247484.
A property market update with Dr. Andrew Wilson. Thanks to Domain, Australia's best property app. Find your perfect home on the Domain app or at domain.com.au.
The Perth housing market has gone through a subdued period, just as the local economy has with the end of the mining boom. But we are starting to see some clear signs that the shakeout in house prices is starting to bottom out. And of course, it's not all bad news. The Perth market still remains very strong for buyers. The key thing is that buyers and sellers remain in the market and don't leave it too soon between that buying and selling decision. The real issue is to remain in the marketplace. But having said that, there are certainly signs now that we're coming to the end of the recent subdued prices growth and that we may start to see a stabilisation in the market. And of course, confidence will return once that becomes apparent and the market will start to restabilise.
Finding your perfect home is easy with Domain. Download Australia's best property app or visit domain.com.au.
Oh, I love these new Acora apartments. Well-managed, 24-hour security, modern fit-out and public transport right on your doorstep.
Son?
Yeah, Dad?
I think it's time you went home.
Oh.
I mean, enough is enough and we got people coming over.
Everybody loves the new Acora Retirement Apartments, now selling at Swancare Bentley Park. Visit Acora Apartments, that's akora.com.au.
So, can I come back tomorrow?
If you have to.
Escape to Asia with a hot airfare deal from Escape Travel. Fly to Kuala Lumpur from $374 on sale now. Plus many more dreamy destinations. Call 135-381 or search Hot Escapes now.
We're talking gardening with Darren DeMello and Sue McDougall on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
At 8:19, we are talking gardening, and we would love you to get involved. 9221 882, 19999 677, the way you can text in, or Weekend Wake Up at 6PR.com.au. We're going to have a chat to Oh, actually, you've got an email here from Rosalind first off.
Yeah, we do. Rosalind, I'm sure your plant's Nicotiana. Just give me a ring, because if it's a little, small, low-growing annual that's grown fast, I'm sure it's Nicotiana, but with their flowers not quite open, which they do close down a little bit, I think that's what it is, but just a little bit more information and we'll be able to help you. But good photo, really good photo, because it was in focus. Well done.
Now, let's talk passion fruit. Bobby and Mandra, morning.
Hi, Bobby.
Hello, Sue. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a Nellie Kelly passion fruit and it's just over 12 months old, but it's sending off a lot of roots from under the ground and they're coming up like a metre, some 2 metres away, but some really close to the passion fruit. I don't know whether to pull it out and start again or just keep cutting them off.
What's the type of the passion fruit, the top of the passion fruit looking like?
It grew quite well, and I was quite surprised to get some passion fruit this year, but they didn't grow very big.
If it's just 12 it's months not, old.
Yeah.
Okay, with a passion fruit, it's always the issue with the grafted one. It's really frustrating.
Yeah, it is a grafted.
Yeah, the rootstock, sometimes it takes over, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. And if you're unlucky enough to, you've got two choices. You could just monitor it. And what happens is that we need to gouge it out. We need to pull it away rather than just cutting it, because cutting it then allows it to shoot away again, to dig it in, dig it into the branch to get rid of all the auxins. Yeah. Around and just monitor it and see if it's really bad, we have to pull it out. But if the passion fruit's going okay, often when the rootstock takes over or it tries to keep shooting, it's saying that something's not right and the top part of the graft is not taken or it's not quite as good as what it should be. But if the top of the passion fruit's growing well, you might be okay. You might be able to get away with it by pulling it out rather than, you know, so you yank the plant, the branch out, and you sort of cut into the stem to get rid of the rootstock as well. But it is so annoying. The other thing is you say, that's it, I'm not going to plant a grafted one. These are out, I'm going to plant Sunshine Perth. Which is a
Sunshine Perth.
Yeah.
And that's a seeded one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's I think it's a cutting growing one. It's a particular variety that's not grafted. But does really well. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll have a look and
have a dilemma, hey?
I think so. I might pull it out and start again.
It's annoying.
Because it's quite prolific.
You know what I saw for sale the other day, which I hadn't seen for a long, long time, and it's pretty exciting, I think, which I went, I'm going to plant one of those, a banana passion fruit. The flavour from banana passion fruit are just beautiful. Just beautiful.
Okay.
So that's something to look for too. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, well, Bobby. Thanks very much.
Options, pleasure. Bobby. Good luck. 9221882. Off to tapping now. Hello, Maureen.
Hello. Hello, Sue and Darren. Sorry about my voice.
Hi, Maureen.
Quite all right.
Hi. Yes, I've got a lot of Phalaenopsis orchids, which are doing quite well, but there's a lot of white sort of fluffy stuff coming up down in the middle of them.
Do you think it looks like mealybug?
Probably is. Yeah. I couldn't think of the name of it, but I don't know what to spray them with.
Yeah. One of the... You've got them inside, or are they in a shade house area? Or patio
There's some out in a little hothouse, but most of them are inside, some in the bathroom. I've got about a dozen of them.
Okay. So what I would be doing is making up a solution of Confidor and dunking in a bucket, dunking the whole pot in the Confidor and pulling it out again. And that's a way you can get rid of them in the root system, because they live in the root system too, Maureen.
Oh, right.
And using tablets is not going to help, because what happens is the coarse bark will just leach away. It's got to be taken up through the plant sap stream. So the best thing is just dunking the whole plant.
And do I wipe the leaves with anything to get it off to start off with?
Well, you'll find that most of the leaves will probably go underneath the solution anyway. So, yes, you can anyway, and then you can wipe the leaves once it's dried.
Right.
But used to recommend a gazillion years ago using methylated spirits for mealybug, but it's not that effective anyway. You'll find the other thing that you can do is just use white oil. Once you've cleaned them up, they've dried out, you can just use white oil. Wipe the leaves with white oil.
Oh, right. And do I use the same thing for some of my clivias that are in pots?
Yeah, expensive
ones.
Yeah.
Do I use the same thing on
Confidor
those?
For those too, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If you've got mealybug and it's easiest just to dunk the whole, put it in a container, dunk the whole plant, put gloves on, of course, but put the whole plant in, dunk, leave it there for a minute or two, and then pull it up again.
Yeah, well, with the clivias, see, it gets right down in the middle of those too, and it
and then it gets in the root
out.
System. That's exactly it. I suspect that's what you've got.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Sue.
Pleasure.
Okay,
bye. Have a great weekend. Let's talk to Rosalind, who's called in to, because now she emailed. Hello, Rosalind. How are you?
Hi, Rosalind.
Hello, good morning to you both.
Yeah, good.
Yes, my husband saw that plant at when he was playing golf this week.
Yeah.
And it's a low shrub, he said, and beautiful big yellow flowers.
Oh, it's got yellow flowers. So
yes.
So can he take a photo of it?
That's the photo I emailed.
Yeah, with it's in a flower, when the flower's open, because if he doesn't bix off, just if he takes it on his phone and then emails it to us. I still think it's Nicotiana, depending on what the height of it is.
Yeah, someone else mentioned that it was, they thought it was Nicotiana too.
Yeah, there we go. So that you've got two out of two, so it's a really good start.
Yeah. Is that
a
native, Sue?
No, it's not. Actually, Nicotiana is very closely related to tobacco. How's that?
Wow. Oh, really?
How
would we fertilise it if when we buy it?
Yeah, when you get it, you just use controlled-release fertiliser or blood and bone or soil improver, you know, one of those dynamic lifter, something like that. One of those granulated fertilisers that are available. I think there's Powerfeed one. There's lots of different ones.
And where would we buy it, Sue?
This is going to be the trick. So whereabouts you live, head to your local garden centre and ask them if they've got any in.
Yeah.
So was it at someone's garden or was it at the
It was at the golf
club. Okay.
Yeah, in the ground.
Yeah, so at the golf club they might have bought a group of seedlings as seedlings earlier on in the year. Okay. I imagine that's what it is. So if your husband can work out from the gardener where they got their seedlings from, then you can track it back. But go to your local garden centre, I think.
Will do.
Rosalind, yeah.
All right, then. Thank you, Sue.
Yeah, pleasure.
Cheers,
bye-bye.
Rosalind. There you go.
Now, Nicotiana comes in different coloured flowers, of course, as well. So it's a little annual plant that grows beautifully. Sometimes you get the second year out of it. Brilliant colours, do really well. Great.
Got a yellow?
Yeah, it depends what's available. So,
no, but I mean, it comes in a yellow.
Yeah, okay. Depends what's available.
This is what we've got to see, the flower. That's the next step in the
process.
Which bits of the plant you have to take pictures of?
Sometimes, but I'm sure that's what it is.
All right. Let's talk olive trees now. Mary and Jundana, hello.
Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Darren and Sue. I'm so upset.
What's happened?
I just came out from church and I saw my friend, my neighbour, three doors down. He's harvesting all the olives.
Too early?
Yeah, and I've got a tree there. It's beautiful.
Did he harvest your olives too?
Nothing. Not even one. I think he's been pinching them.
Mary, I reckon you had the same problem last year, didn't you?
Yes, yeah, and it's a beautiful tree. The council gave it to me for my birthday. I couldn't put it on the verge because everybody will be asking for olive trees then.
Yeah.
So I put it. They've put it in my garden, and it's come beautiful, but it's unbelievable. There's not one olive this year again.
And there was olives did you have olives before?
Well, when I put it in, I took a lot out and I gave some away, but since then, nothing.
Nothing. Okay. Is it looked after really well?
Well, I heard you say once, don't give it water.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry about
That's true. Yep. Yeah, that's right. That's what you need to do. Don't look after it too much because you need to get it to flower. So try just for me now, put a little bit of sulfate of potash on it now to encourage flowering and then don't prune it in winter because then you'll prune off the branches and then get it to flower because last year we pruned ours hard, didn't get any olives. This year we've got a few. So this year they were mature enough to flower. So I think yours might be, if it's looking gorgeous, you might have looked after it a little bit well, Mary.
Yeah.
We know. I know what you do.
It's because it's Easter for us, you know.
Yeah.
And we, you know, during Easter, you know, we're Catholics. And it's we expect the olives because God went to the, into the garden with his into his olive trees. You know what I mean?
That's so annoying to have a tree and no olives.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're not going to appear in 4 weeks' time, are they?
No. Might be magic.
Right? Yeah, it'd be a miracle if they.
I think so. Yeah, then there'll definitely be a shrine at your place. Yeah, thanks, Mary.
Yes, a little less love, and maybe you'll get a bit of joy next year.
Mm.
829-922-11882 if you want to join us as we talk gardening. Got half an hour left here on 6PR.
Ben and Jerry's open air cinemas are back in the city until April 2. Supported by 6PR, they're bringing the hottest new releases and Oscar winners to Ozone Reserve off Riverside Drive. Every Sunday is a Sunday session with live music and free Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Now that's cool. Capacity is limited, so book early at openaircinemas.com.au. Details on the events page at 6pr.com.au.
With 7 bonus extras, including aircon, painting and floor coverings, every Summit granny flat is move-in ready. And with double brick or master-wall for the same price, it must end soon. Act now. Search Summit granny flats today. Conditions apply. BRN 10689.
Amana Living has been quietly helping older members of our community for over 50 years. Along the way, we've become one of WA's largest aged care providers, with 21 locations across Perth. No one offers a wider range of services than Amana Living. Home care, retirement villages, nursing homes, and more. We take care of things so our clients can get on and enjoy life. Amana Living, helping you really live the second half of life.
Are you buying a True Blue Aussie fish oil? Don't be a few stubbies short of a six-pack. Get Healthy Care fish oil. It helps maintain normal healthy brain function, plus it's Australian made and owned. You beauty. So go on, help support your body and country with Healthy Care fish oil. Get 400 caps for the fair dinkum price of just $12.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Another great Aussie. Always read the label, use only as directed. If symptoms persist, see your healthcare professional. Chemist Warehouse. Lowest prices guaranteed.
Hey, you know that Dickie's trees have been chopping, lopping and bopping around Perth for more than 30 years. So why would you bother contacting anyone else if you've got a tree that's being a little tricky? If you're a pensioner, let them know and you'll find yourself on the happy end of a discount. Get online and Google Dickie's trees or jump on the phone and whack it on the head with a Dickie.
Dickie's trees.
Now for some home security tips, thanks to Aliatech Security Screening Systems.
Do you live in a multi-unit complex or apartment building? Help prevent intruders gaining access to the complex. Don't let strangers follow you into the building. And keep any balcony doors and windows locked. For extra security, have a peephole installed and ensure there is good lighting outside your home. Avoid storing important belongings in any shared garage areas. And if you have a bike, secure it to a permanent structure.
These 6PR home security tips are proudly brought to you by Aliatech. Whether it's a full renovation or a refresh for summer, get on-site advice and an obligation-free quote. Just give us a call or go online. Aliatech, simply better protection for your home.
There are many retirees who share the same story as you. You own a home but need cash to live day to day. Well, Sterling New Life can help you change that. They can help you downsize and free up cash without risking your assets. The best independent living solution. A brand new home north of the river from just $205,000 or south of the river from just $180,000. It really is a sterling idea. To find out more, visit sterlingnewlife.com.au.
We're talking gardening with Darren DeMello and Sue McDougall on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
27 to 9, and you can join us and talk gardening at 922 11882. We are here till 9 o'clock, and then Ross Greenwood is here with Work Life Money, and then Peter Newman's back with your Sunday brunch from 10 o'clock this morning.
Sure, there to entertain us.
Indeed. Out to Hazelmere. Vivian, morning to you.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Sue. I've been awfully bad.
Why? Why? Sure.
My rosemary, lavender and geisha girl have been in the pot so long that they have gone through the pots and have got substantial roots.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking beautiful. I don't want to kill them. Help. Yeah. What do I do?
Just wait. Yeah. You'll find rosemary won't even be knocked back. Chop it back a little bit. Chop the roots off and that won't be so bad. Lavender can sometimes, depending on the pot and the size of the pot and how much they've grown, sometimes lavender can be knocked back. So do that in winter, Vivian. So you chop.
Okay.
Don't move that. Do that in winter. You might lose some flowering. You might lose some of the branches as far as you have to chop some back hard, but that might be knocked back the most. Geisha girl, you'll chop it back. It will drop all its leaves. It will look terrible and you think, oh, it's died, and then it will just suddenly grow again. Wait and do that in winter. Oh. So it's looking so beautiful as well. Geisha girl's a gorgeous plant. It's totally underrated.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
And daffodils, when do I plant my daffodils?
So soon. Mm-hmm. Anywhere from, depending, are they early variety ones or are they?
I'm not too sure. I sent over to the Garden Express.
Yep, so depending what variety you've got, you can, are you putting them in the fridge?
I've got them in the fridge. Yeah. They've been in there for about a month.
Yeah, so another couple of weeks. So we're going to say, anywhere from end of March, middle of April, you've got till the end of April, really, to plant them. No problem at all.
Oh, thank you.
Enjoy.
So much.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Cheers, Vivian. Have a good day. To Forestfield now, and Reg joins us. Morning, Reg.
Morning, Darren. Morning, Sue. How are you?
Yeah, we're well,
very
thanks.
Well.
Sue, I ran into your husband the other day.
You did amazing. Reg does an amazing, did this amazing job for this front garden we designed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. Such a small world, Reg. Lovely talk
yes,
to you.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's very nice to be caught up with, a voice and then you
isn't it?
With a person.
It's so true. It's so true.
Nothing like a good little brick pond.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. It's going to look stunning.
Now, my little problem is tomato dust, that Yates tomato and veggie dust.
Yeah.
I had a beautiful big crop of tomatoes. They're putting that dust on there quite regularly.
Yeah.
Nice big plants, about a metre and a half high, et cetera, et cetera. And then I had some cucumbers and that growing around it.
Yeah.
And I read on it, don't spread this dust around when there's cucumbers, especially not cucumbers.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Do you know why?
Why
that
is that so?
It's the sulfur in the tomato dust. So what happens is that cucumbers and sulfur don't mix, Reg. So you'll find that the tomato dust has got a certain amount of sulfur in, which we use for mites and also mildew. And so if that's on, that goes to your cucumbers, that can cause a problem. So the other thing that you can do is just put a sheet or a piece of cardboard over it while you're dusting.
Well, the only problem was I stopped using the dust altogether.
Yeah.
And what happened to me tomatoes?
Go backwards.
They all got wilt and the wilt got in and the whole lot went out.
Yeah, yeah, so frustrating. So next time, plant your cucumbers. See, it doesn't
miles
matter
away.
About... Yeah, exactly. fair way away and you'll find...
I got plenty of cucumbers, but the tomatoes are gone.
Oh, damn, that's really frustrating. Actually, mine haven't done so well this year either.
But, I mean, what's the best for those cucumbers when you get that bit of a wilt leaf rot? Eco-carb, I suppose.
Eco-carb, and that will work very effectively for it. But you'll find with cucumbers is that you can just grow them really fast and then just have another crop coming through and you'll find they don't get as susceptible to it. But EcoCarb works well. Yep.
Yeah, I've got about four or five crops grown here.
Oh, you are a star. Well done, Reg.
Okay, thanks very much for your help.
Pleasure.
9221882 if you want to join in. 19999677. Is it tomato time? Like, if you wanted to start with tomatoes, now?
Actually, no, it's not now. We're at the end of the season. Right. But I want to put a call out for someone who's
got... They seem like a summer fruit to me. Is that fruit, veggie, whatever? Thing.
Exactly. Well, they are a summer fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens at this time of the year? So you plant your tomatoes early, and so anywhere from September to August, September, depending where you live, October, and then they come up. Some varieties are what we call intermittent. So that means they fruit right through the season.
Ooh,
some
they sound like
some
good
are
ones.
Annual. Yeah, mostly the cherry tomatoes.
Okay.
So, and some of course are annual. So they come up fruit and then they start to die back. depending on the varieties that you plant, depends on tomatoes, you know, when you've got them in season, because right. some are early, some are late. So you'll find that a good selection is of tomatoes is you just have a late fruiting one, you have a cherry tomato or a couple of cherry tomatoes because they're ongoing, they're good value. You can always have a few tomatoes for a salad or a sandwich, and or a pasta dish, and then you've just got a whole range of tomatoes growing in the ground.
And there are so many more varieties than we are kind of accustomed to, aren't
there? There are so many varieties, and some do better than others depending on the condition. Some are more cold climate, cold tolerant, I should say, and others are the plants that really need the high nitrogen time temperatures for them to set fruit as well. So that's something important. But I'm doing a story about tomatoes okay. and about psyllid and things. So I actually want to put a call out question yeah. without a notice for someone who's got some tomatoes who's willing to help me with, you know, a veggie garden who's willing to help me with a story. Okay. Might be worthwhile.
So if you want to show off your tomatoes
okay. and how well, show off maybe your veggie garden, give us a ring and Andrew will get your number and we'll, so that'll be awesome because I want to see what's happening in people's backyards.
And see, one of the things that made me kind of realise it is I saw one of these amazing pictures of sort of all the, you know, obviously it wasn't all the different varieties in the world because I don't think you could get them all yeah. in one place, but yeah. the colours, the sizes, the shapes, and you talk about ones that are obviously cold climate ones and that won't necessarily grow here, but there really are, like, just remarkable amounts out there.
Taste test. I mean, diggers have a really good range of
I'd love to taste test.
Exactly. Some are and the other thing that at this time of the year when we're talking about tomatoes is, you know, you have a tomato that's flowery, and that can come because you water it at the wrong time when it's just starting to ripen. So there's all these cultural practices that to get the good tomato happening, to get it right. But taste test is some are quite sweet, some are quite tart. You'll find you get a different, very fleshy, you know, smooth flesh is the way I explain it. Some are quite coarse. It really depends on what variety you're growing. And you get, often you just run out of room, Darren. You don't have enough room.
If you want to get dedicated
to them. You don't have enough room to grow all the tomatoes that you want.
What percent, when it comes to, I mean, you know, overall numbers, what kind of percentage do you reckon we can actually get hold of and grow successfully here of the collection of tomatoes out there?
Lots. Yeah, we have some of the old-fashioned varieties are what we call, you know, heirloom varieties. They are the ones that aren't so disease resistant, so you might get a few fruit off them. Some of the hybrid varieties have grown for their vigour, sometimes not for their flavour. So we have a whole gamut from the very beginning heirloom varieties right through to the most hybridised varieties, and I reckon we can get most of them. Okay. Unless there's a new variety that's licensed and it's only available to certain growers, but then mostly home gardeners don't want those types of tomatoes anyway. So for my money, I always plant cherry tomatoes because they just keep going, keep fruiting, do so amazingly well.
And they do pretty well, like they're pretty easy as well.
They fruit really well, yep. All right.
19 999 677 if you want to text. Weekend Wake Up at 6pr.com.au or give us a buzz on 9221 882. Morning, Darren and Sue. This is a text, I'm guessing here. Oh, no, this is from emails. Just visited the Araluen Avocado and Chili Festival yesterday. We're talking about what a combination.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. I bought wurz and bacon avocado trees as I had a big whoops with a wurz last year.
Obviously, that means
it didn't work. Yeah. Could you please provide as much as possible info, I'm guessing you want, about how to plant the trees, in particular soil prep, amount of space needed for the root system to develop, and ways to protect the plant from the hot sun. That's how the last words ended its life.
That's exactly how mine ended its life on Australia Day.
From Janelle.
Hi, Janelle. You'll find when we dig the hole for your avocado tree, you need a space that's, say, 50 centimetres wide by 50 centimetres deep. Discard a third of the soil from the base of the tree and then put soil improver, good quality soil improver, sheep manure, compost, dig that through thoroughly and mix that in, and then just some controlled release fertilizer for fruiting plants into the tree and mulch it really well. That's one thing that's pretty important for the tree. And the space apart it doesn't really matter. You can plant them very close together, but avocados have quite a broad, wide root system.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll find when they've got this wide root system, they need to be looked after all the way. So at least 5 metres apart, if that's possible, and then protecting it from the hot sun so it doesn't get burnt. You can actually put a little bit of shea cloth around the trunk, and I think that's the best way to go, easiest way to go from the hot sun. Once the tree's protected, you have no problem at all. I know in commercial orchards they paint the trunk, but you'll find that if you can put just a bit of shea cloth around, that will make a big difference around to protect it, because that's how mine died too. Janelle, if that's any help.
Yeah, the sun can be brutal, can't it?
Yeah.
Just for those that are wondering, the avocado and chilli festival out at Araluen continues today.
Yeah, but it's actually, is it Fremantle still?
Quite likely.
Yeah. They moved it because it got too big from Araluen. So I'm not sure where their location is.
Check it out. I'm just scooting on through here. Yes.
McCallum Park. There you go. It's at McCallum Park. I knew that they'd moved it somewhere else, so it's at McCallum Park in Big Park. Easy to get to.
But yeah, yep. you got another day to check it out, 10 till 5.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 14 to 9 and sorting out Joy and Belcata's dramas when we come back. Hang with us.
You're listening to The Weekend Wake Up for King Care, specialists delivering in-home care for WA's elderly and people with disability.
The Scarborough Toyota Rumour File.
Rumour has it that the company that is involved in the floor finishes at the new Perth Stadium has accidentally ordered the wrong colour for the entire concourse area. The new flooring has a 20-week lead time that will cause significant delays to the practical completion at the stadium and the Ashes.
Have you heard a hot rumour? The Scarborough Toyota Rumour File. Weekdays at 7 and 8.25 on Breakfast with Steve Mills and Basil Zemplis, where all the big stories break.
Bonus up this weekend at Domain and save in furniture. Hot deals on fabric and leather lounges, dining, outdoor furniture and more. Plus, bonus up. Get bonus local delivery and a bonus rug to the value of $399 when you purchase a new lounge over $999. Bonus up now at Domain with big bonus deals in homewares. Buy one pendant light and get one as a bonus. That's two pendant lights for the price of one. Don't miss out. Bonus up at Domain ends Monday.
Second item of equal or lesser value. Conditions apply. See store for details.
Escape to Asia with a hot airfare deal from Escape Travel. Fly to Kuala Lumpur from $374 on sale now. Plus many more dreamy destinations. Call 135-381 or search Hot Escapes now.
The key to a beautiful garden is having the time and energy to look after it. But that can be difficult with work commitments, not to mention running a household. Luckily, the team at Weeding Women are here to ease your to-do list. From pruning and weeding to planting and mulching, the ladies at Weeding Women care for your garden like it's their own. Their regular maintenance service is the answer. If you want a clean and tidy garden, the whole family can enjoy. Visit weedingwomen.com.au.
Matthew Pavlich here to let you know about this month's Kia deals.
Five-door Picanto, voted Australia's best micro car from $14,990 drive away with auto. Or Silverado S, voted Australia's best small car from $19,990 drive away with free auto. And introducing the all-new Rio, redesigned with a bold new look.
And all Kias come with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty.
See your WA Kia dealer today.
Private buys only. Offers end March 31 or while stocks last. Terms and conditions at kia.com.au.
The kids call me Povo, because we're poor.
Jake is one of the 1.1 million young Australians currently living in poverty.
They make fun of my school uniform and my reading.
Through no fault of his own, Jake has less than his peers. If nothing changes, he'll continue to fall further behind. Please sponsor an Australian child today. Give them the school essentials and extra learning support they need to fit in and catch up at school. Visit thesmithfamily.com.au.
If you want to keep the cool air in, noise out, and energy bills down, you need Magnetite Retrofit double glazing panels. They fit to your existing windows and save up to 80% of your cool air escaping and up to 70% of noise out. Install now and start feeling cool, comfortable, and relaxed. Cool in, noise out, energy bills down. All thanks to the amazing thermal performance of Magnetite. Visit magneteperth.com.au.
We're talking gardening with Darren DeMello and Sue McDougall on 882 6PR.
It's 11 to 9. 922 11 882 if you want to join and talk gardening with us before we wrap it up. We're into the last hurrah for today, in about 10 minutes or so, before it's Work Life Money with Ross Greenwood, and then, of course, your Sunday brunch with Peter Newman from 10 o'clock. Join Balcatta. You're talking dwarf limes?
Yeah,
lemons. We talk all sorts of
things.
Yeah,
we do.
And Joy in Balcatta is talking dwarf limes. Hello, Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Good morning, Gary, and good morning, Sue. I've got a Tahitian lime, semi-dwarf tree.
Yeah.
The new growth is coming out with just covered curly leaf all over it.
Yeah, is it a bit silvery too?
I went to a garden centre and they sold me some Echo oil.
Yeah.
And advised me to cut the two main branches that were affected off. I've done that. It's shot out new growth everywhere, but it's still covered in this.
Yeah. Did they explain to you how it works, how the citrus leaf miner works? She comes lays her egg underneath that soft new growth, that top layer, and then that curl is the larvae that's hatching, so it causes this silvering and curling of the leaf.
Yes.
The oil stops the adult being able to lay her egg underneath the top of the leaf. It slips off, so it's more of a preventative than anything else.
Yeah.
So if it's still affected by it, what happens with it after? Because we've had the most incredible summer rain with that warm weather, and then it just shoots away. There will be a lot of new growth. And I just did mention the other day to someone, I think there's going to be a lot of citrus leaf miner around this year because of that. So we need to make those leaves strong, really strong, and thick and leathery. So that's where the role of potassium comes in. You'll find much nitrogen will give you really soft leaf growth. You want really hard, leathery leaves.
Really hard.
Leathery leaves. So the potassium helps thicken the cell wall, and we're just going to have to live with it. Like every leaf that's curly, you can look at it, and you can actually squash the larvae in there. So you're and then you're just going, if there's too much, it can stop fruit set. But if it's not so bad, there's just a little bit of it. Just keep the oil regularly.
Going.
Yeah, regularly.
Yeah.
But once the leaves are affected by, and the potassium, do that now and do that in May.
Potassium,
you can get a soluble form of potassium, sulfate of potash, or you can get a granular one that you put around the root system.
Thank you very much.
You're
okay,
welcome.
I'll keep persevering.
Job.
Thank you. Bye.
Perseverance is the key. Patience, perseverance, all of those P. What are they? What do they think? Well, intestinal fortitude. I don't know. What are they called? Qualities.
Yeah, qualities. Well, all those things that I teach my kids, you know.
It's a very old-fashioned
perseverance
word.
And
characteristics or something.
That's
I
right.
know what it is. Vince in Oakford is on the line anyway, talking bananas. How are you, Vince?
Oh, g'day, guys. I'm just trying to find out where you can get a banana passion fruit from. Seem to be hotter to find than a variegated Venus flytrap.
They are, but they are around. They are around, and they're growing them. I saw on a grower's list. Did you hear me talking about banana passion fruit? They are beautiful. The flavour.
Yeah, I'm trying to find them.
Yeah.
I don't know where you can get them from.
So I know. David's Garden Centre's got some in. They don't open today, I don't think, but they're open from Monday to Saturday. And if you give them Dundas Road in Maida Vale, I think it is.
Okay.
They've got some on their list.
David's?
D-A-V-I-D-S.
Yep.
David's
okay,
Garden
no worries.
Centre. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go.
Okay,
good
banana
luck.
Passion fruit. Oh, that flavour is beautiful. Yeah, but he's right, and that's why I went, they're on the list, because I haven't seen them. They're variegated Venus flytrap. You're right. They're pretty rare.
What's the difference taste-wise in the banana?
Okay, banana passion fruit is a long.
Do they look different because of the? They're called that because of the shape.
They're long,
right?
They are yellow, bright yellow,
right?
And they've got a very soft skin that you sort of peel or open up, and they are chock-a-block full of juicy, really juicy flesh. That's and pulp that's just sweet rather than tart and tangy, and that's okay. But it just a distinct very productive per fruit, not very productive per setting. So sometimes you don't get fruit, sometimes you get lots of fruit. Okay. So, but they are vigorous, they grow really well, and then you get the bonus of having some fruit. So Vince is on the money when he says they are really hard to get hold of because there's not many around.
You talk about a soft shell kind of outside. Are they a bit like a fig to kind of crack open, are they?
Almost a little bit thicker, but so they would be sort of the size, an elongated egg. Okay. Not round like an egg, but elongated, right? So a little bit longer than that. And then you just sort of open up, peel them. So they're almost like a banana skin, but not a banana skin. Not even that color. They're not yellow. They're sort of an orangey yellow color. So, but they are almost like a fig. Yeah.
Okay, but so no banana taste.
No banana taste. No, no.
This is where in my head, you know, things are becoming confused.
It's not working. Oh, you poor love. Poor love. Anyway, while you're talking about figs, good link, Darren.
There you go. Confusion happens easily with me. Anyway, carry on. So you're right there. We got an email from Anne, weekendwakeup@6pr.com.au. So I have a fabulous recipe to use up figs, and you can use them for months. Apparently, you can enjoy these. 2 cups of water, 1 kilo of figs, 3/4 cup of sugar, and 1/2 cup of vinegar. Bring water and sugar and vinegar to boil. Meanwhile, wash figs and prick with fork, add figs and simmer for 1.5 hours. Now, it seems improbable. It does seem like a long time, but it works. They don't fall apart. Leave in liquid to cool, then place on racks. I use old fridge shelves, cover with net to protect them from insects, place in the sun for 5 or 6 days. You'll love them. So essentially, she boils them up for ages with sugar and vinegar and then sets them out into the sun to dry.
Oh, that. Sorry about that.
And you essentially, you've come up with a way of preserving them.
Yeah, it's almost poaching them. So you sort of poach them and then
and then sun dry them.
They are just awesome like that.
And they last.
They do.
There you go.
Sorry, my voice. I just breathe in. You know when you breathe in and it gets a tickle? Oh, wouldn't it be good if I was there by myself.
Now, I know
I have to put a song on.
So there we go. We'll keep hold of, if people want to know how to sort of get some more value out of them, that's a great way to do it. We'll keep
don't
hold of
boil them
you.
Too much. So what you have to do is simmer them.
Yep.
Otherwise,
also,
they turn to mush and you end up with this sort of syrup.
Okay. Now, look, we need to remind everyone too, because you were sort of keen for tomato gardeners for a TV story that you're doing.
Yes, please. So I need someone who's got some tomatoes, some veggie garden growing tomatoes, to give me a ring, please.
All right.
Give me a ring. Leave your message with Andrew.
92211882, and you never know, we could be featuring
talking
your
to you,
garden.
We could be, yes.
Yeah, so if you're particularly proud of your tomatoes, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
92211882. That's almost us. We're back. You're back Thursday. We're back next weekend.
I am. Thanks, Darren.
There we go. And news on the way, and then work, life, money, and Peter.